In Shulchan Aruch, Hilchas Yom HaKippurim begin with the din of Erev Yom HaKippurim. They quote the Gemara in Brachas that there is a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom HaKippurim. It says, so the Gemara poses a question that we don't fast on the 9th, we fast on the 10th of Tishrei. So the simple pshat in the pasuk is, the night following the 9th. But that's an awkward way of speaking. The night after the 9th. So that's why the Gemara understood that there's some kind of a kiyum of inui on Erev Yom Kippur. So the Gemara has two suggestions in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tesem, and Aleph. One suggestion is that this is referring to Tosefes Yom Kippurim. And this is the mocker for the institution of Tosefes Lefanel. What's it
called?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
אני ממש מתבייש לך לדבר בצורה כזאת, אבל אין לי ברירה. אני באתי מבני ברק לפני כמה ימים, אני התחתנתי לפני שנתיים ונולד לי בן לפני כמה חודשים. כמו רבי הרבוסה, בתקופה האחרונה אני הייתי בבני ברק ביזנס, שברוך השם הייתי מאוד מצליח, והייתי מן הנויסטים ולא מן המקבלים, אבל לצערי הרב נפלתי בביזנס, בחנות שהיה לי, נפלתי מאוד קשה, ונהייתי בהלכות מאוד גדול, ועכשיו רוצים לזרוק אותי מהבית שלי בבני ברק, בגלל כל החובות האלו, ויש ילד קטן בבית ואישה, ואני ממש בצער בגלל כל המצב הזה. המצב הזה הגיע למצב שאשתי כל היום יושבת בבית ובוכה, והבית שלי כבר נהרס. ממש כואב לי להגיע לכזה מצב שאני צריך לבקש עזרה ממכם, אבל אני ממש מתחנן בערב עם כיפר, לא בשבילי, אלא למען אשתי שכל היום בצער מזה, ולמען שלום בית שלנו, גם מצוות צדקה וגם מצוות שלום בית. יש פה מכתב של הרב שמואל אליעזר שטרן, אב בית דין בבני ברק, וגם ראש כולל חזוני של בני ברק, זה ראש כולל של אבא שלי. תזכו למצוות, שיהיה לכם שנה טובה וכתיבה וחתימה טובה.
The rabbi from the Reuben Shul gave me the stuff up in the, to get put in the main base measures. Is that money that for someone?
I have no idea. Yes, sir. Has two interpretations on this pasuk. The one is that the pasuk is alluding to the din of Tosefes Yom Kippurim. And the Rambam quotes this din, the Rambam passes that the only time there's a din of Tosefes is by Yom Kippurim. By Shabbos and Yom Tov, the Rambam does not quote the din of Tosefes. It appears that not min haTorah, not min derabbanan, you're not mechuyev, it's not even chal. Chashav shad according to the Rambam, there is no such concept as Tosefes on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The Rambam Paskin is based on this pasuk that is only Tosefes v'Yom Kippurim. Bhagavad Mishnah claims within the Rambam that the din of Tosefes on Yom Kippurim is only with respect to the Hamisha Inuit, not with respect to Malacha. He splits it. He says if it would have been a din that Yom Yosef on the Issa Malacha, so why should we distinguish between Yom Kippur and the other Yomim Mekudoshim? So the Bhagavad Mishnah understands only Tosefes on Inuit. Bekevis HaMishnah disagrees with the Rambam, and he with the Magen Mishnah, he thinks that doesn't make any sense. But then the Rambam to split, he says, once you have Tosefes on the Hamisha Inuyim, so you have to have Tosefes on the Yisa Malacha as well. But I'll call upon the Rambam Paskins, Tosefes is only by Yom Kippur. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah has another opinion that this is the Mokra of Tosefes, but from here you learn out to all the others, Manim and Kodashim, you learn out to Shabbos and Yom Kippur. It's not only restricted to Yom Kippur, but this is the Mokra. Then the Gemara has another pshat, in Yismas Tashasech Metisha Lachedish Ba'erev is alluding to the mitzvah Sachilo on Erev Yom Kippur. It's a mitzvah manatur to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, so why is it referred to as being Nisan? If you eat on Erev Yom Kippur and you fast on Yom Kippur, then the fasting is going to be more difficult. Eating makes the contrast more difficult. What kind of a mitzvah is that? The fast. Well, why should that be a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? Make the fast more difficult. Make the fast more difficult. Rashi writes on the Gemara to prepare yourself for the fast. If you fill yourself up on Erev Yom Kippur, so you won't be that hungry on Yom Kippur. You can. So other Rishonim learn it the other way, that it makes the tannis more difficult. So some interpret a totally different pshat. Not that it makes the fasting more difficult, and not that it makes the fasting easier. But a totally different shot. Why is there a mitzvah sachila on Erev Yom Kippur? The Mishnah says in the end of Tainus, the last Mishnah, that the two jolliest days on the calendar, the girls would be dancing in the vineyards, and the boys would make shiduchim on Chamisha Sabav and on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, Bishleim Yom Kippur, we understand. Kippur is a day to really celebrate, to be happy, because it's Yom Shenitin Baluchas Shniyos. It's a Yom Achilas Avayinus. Two reasons why you celebrate. But what is Chamisha Sabav all about? So the Gemara gives a whole explanation. So the Gemara seems to say that Yom Kippur is a day on which we celebrate not only the Achilas Avayinus, we celebrate its Zman Kabbalas Atayr. We usually think that we celebrate Zman Kabbalas Atayr on Shavuos. That's what we say in the Tefillah. Say Yom Chag HaShavuos as Zman Matan Torah Seinu. So apparently on Yom Kippurim as well, we're celebrating Kabbalas Luchas Shniyos. But you have to celebrate. What's the difference between Maimon HaSinai is already Kabbalas HaTorah. So the Luchas were broken. So you got the second Luchas. What's the significance of celebrating 2 days? So Rav Shlomo Levilnik suggests in his Sefer in Binyan Shlomo, Rav Soloveitchik has a whole drasha on this that's published, that Perhaps we're celebrating on Shavuos Kabbalas Torah Shebitzav, and on Yom Kippurim we're celebrating Kabbalas Torah Shebalpeh. Why so? So he quotes from his great-grandfather, the Beis Halevi. He has a long drasha on this, that Beis Halevi quotes Midrashim and passages from the Zohar, that the first Mahadura, according to the first version of the Torah, everything was going to be written on the Luchas, and there wasn't going to be any Torah Shebalpeh. In Mali Chati Yisrael, if the Jews wouldn't have sinned with the Chet HaEgel after Maimon HaSinai, Lasholta Behem Shum Umma V'Loshon, we wouldn't have been able to be conquered by any other nation, and there wouldn't have been any need for the Torah Shabbat Be'er. Everything would have been engraved on the Luchas, and you'd be able to read everything in the Luchas, be able to figure out all of it. But because of the fact that the Jewish people sinned with the Chet HaEgel, so that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished us, so we will be Tachas Shlitas HaNochrim. So the Nochrim will take the Torah and they'll claim that they're the Jewish, they're the Yamanitim. They claim that they have the Bible. So the Pasuk says, Imam Gittin quotes a Pasuk. Where's the Imam Gittin? Echtav lo rubei tarasi halo kamo zar nechshavu. The pasuk in Gittin, that's not. If I would have, the Rebbeinu Shlom says, if I would have written down the whole Torah, everything would have been Torah Shebichsav. Alokam Azar Nechshavu, so the Umas Olam will claim that the Jewish people are no longer the Aman. If they have the whole Torah. But that's why after the Chet HaEgel, so the Rebbeinu Shlom felt that he has to have, even though the Torah Shebichsav is open for the public, and the Umas Olam have access to that, that there's going to be a Torah Shebal Peh that's going to be unique to the Jewish people. We shouldn't be kamo zayin echshav. So the Luchas Shniyos were given on Yom Kippur, and at that time, it only had the Aseres Adin. It didn't have everything written. It couldn't read into. It couldn't look at the Luchas and figure everything out. You had to have a Torah Shabbat day. So that's what Rav Shlomo Levilner says. Bekitzer, Soloveitchik says Barichas that we have 2 days on which we celebrate Kabbalas HaTorah. One is Shavuos. That's when Maimon HaSinai occurred. And the second one is Yom Kippurim, Yoshim Nitma Lucha Shnias. What's the significance of Yom Shnitma Lucha Shnias? When the Lucha Shnias were given, there was a major change instituted that there's going to be two parts to the Torah. There's going to be Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh. So there is a Gemara in Pesachim, where the Gemara in Beitza with Igmar has a machlekes of Lezer and Yeshua. I was once supposed to observe the Yomim Tovim. Are you supposed to have big, fancy, elaborate meals? Are you supposed to have long davening with long drushes, with extra shiurim? So Rabbi Yeshua says, Chetzel Hashem, Chetzel Hashem. Rabbi Lezer says, Akur Lashem, Akur Lachem. Rabbi Lezer can visualize observance of a Yontif, Pesach and Sukkot and Rosh Hashanah. He can visualize it that the rabbi is going to give long drushes and the chazan is going to sing a lot and the choir is going to be a lot of extra shurim and chavrusa learning and everything and tikkun learning. You're going to have brief meals like on a regular day. You have make kiddush and you have a short tuna fish sandwich or something. No long arichas in the meals. So the Gemara says, but there's one exception to the rule. Shavuos. Since the Torah was given on Shavuos, so everyone agrees that you must have an elaborate meal. We call it Kabbalah Santer. So that's where Rabbi Shlomo of Vilna raises the question. So what's with Yom Kippur? If Yom Kippur, we're also celebrating. The Gemara says in the last daf in Tainis that Yom Kippur you're celebrating. So there's so much rejoicing then. Why? Because Yom Shinit Matera, Yom Shinit Maluchashnias. So how does that jive with the Gemara that says you have to have extra eating of meals on Shavuos because Yom Shinit Matur? So that's what some of our Shem say. That's why the Torah instituted the mitzvah of Achila on Erev Yom Kippur. We're celebrating the meal that we have on Erev Yom Kippur is to celebrate Kabbalah Satur. Shlomo Levin does not say like that. He gives a whole explanation why in connection with Kabbalah Satur Shabbal Peh it's better to fast. In connection with Kabbalah Satur Shabbat Tzav it's better to eat. So he gives the whole explanation. But there are some, I think, Rishonim, who suggest like this, that the mitzvah sachila on Erev Yom Kippur is because we're celebrating, you can't celebrate on Yom Kippur by eating, you have to fast. So we celebrate on Erev Yom Kippur by throwing a feast, by throwing a big party, and that elegant suda on Erev Yom Kippur is l'kovet Kabbalah Satur. So we treat Erev Yom Kippur as if it were a yontif. How much of Erev Yom Kippur is considered a yontif that we're celebrating by having a fancy suda? So the Bir Agro explains, Simen Tov Reish Dalet, the Ramah quotes two minhagim, whether you have long slichas or short slichas at Erev Yom Kippur. By the Yekis down the block, they say 2 hours of slichas on Erev Yom Kippur, like on Erev Hashanah, the long slichas. And the rest of the world says the short slichas. The Yekis only wait 3 hours in between Fleishiks and Milchiks. So Rabbi Schwab always used to say, if they wait 3 hours, then you got to say the long slichas on Erev Yom Kippur. You can't take the coolest of the different kehillas. Okay? Stama, that is correct. So the Vilna Gaon explains what's the issue, whether you say dafka long slichas or short slichas. So he says, because the assumption is that the slichas are recited in the middle of the night, not recited in the daytime. In the daytime, Erev Yom Kippur is a yontif, so you're not supposed to say long slichas. The machlekes harishonim is, when does this mitzvah achila on Erev Yom Kippur begin? Does it begin the night before Erev Yom Kippur? Or does it only begin in the daytime of Erev Yom Kippur? See, if it's only in the daytime, nighttime is not yet yontif, so it's shaykh to say long slichas. The closer you get to Yom Kippur, so the more mistaber it is that you should say longer slichas. So that's why those kehillas had the minhag to recite the long slichas. And the rest of the world assumes, like this is 2 days in Rishonim, that the mitzvah sachila begins from the night before. So since even the night before Erev Yom Kippur is also treated as a yontif, that's why the Torah required of us that we should have an elaborate suda, because it's a yontif, perhaps a yontif when we're celebrating Kabbalah's Lucha Shnias, Kabbalah's Torah Shel Bal Peh. So even Balayla, it's not proper to say long slichas, so we just say Bekitzer. So let's say if a person didn't get up to say the slichas at 3:30 in the morning, he's going to want to say slichas at the 7:30 minyan. So then it's not shaykh to have a minik to say 2 hours worth of slichas. Bayom, if you're not going to say slichas, but I'm going to say bayom. So the Vilna Gaon says, for sure you don't say the long slichas. The two minhagim only are if you're saying slichas in the middle of the night. Tov Reish Vav is a whole simen based on the Mishnah on the end of Yuma. The Mishnah quotes the pasuk, "Ki bayom hazeh yechaper lechem tareschem mikol chatoseichem lefnei Hashem tetoru." So there's a question, how do you read that pasuk? So the Tana in the Mishnah says, Ki bayom hazeh an yom kippur. There's another question, how do you translate Ki bayom hazeh? So the simple translation would be, on this day, bayom hazeh, on this day of Yom Kippur. Yichaper alechem, God will atone for all of our sins. Rav Soloveitchik said that it's muchach in the Gemara like this, that bayom doesn't mean on this day, it means with this day. He said the Rishonim call this in Hebrew, in ancient grammar, they used to call it the Beis HaKeli. Let's say the Beis Nes, the witnesses. They say that Reuben killed Shimon. Bameh HaRogoy, what did he kill him with? So he says, Basayef HaRogoy, with a sword. So Basayef doesn't mean in a Sayef, but the Beis sometimes means in or on a day. Bayom HaZeh, when are you going to show up in Shul? Bayom, in the daytime, that's the Zman. Or sometimes base is a makom. Where did you leave my Gemara? Bacheder, in the room. And sometimes the base is the base hakeli, with. Bameh haraga, with what did he kill him? The sayif haraga, with a sword he killed him. So the Gemara seems to understand, ki bayoy mazeh, not on the day of Yom Kippur, Hashem will atone for all of our sins, but rather with the Kedusha Sayyam of Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will atone. Well, what does that mean with the Kedusha Sayyam of Yom Kippur? Rav Soloveitchik said over from the Bnei Yisoschar, Hasidish Rebbe, and he developed the theme that on Yom Kippurim there's a special Hashruas HaShchina, more so than usually. How do we know that that's so? So at the end of Yom Kippurim, we blow shofar. So Tosfos says the reason for the Tkiyah shofar is a siman l'siluk Shchina, just like at the end of Ma'amid HaSina when they blew shofar, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, that the Tkiyah Shofar is a similar Siluk Shechina. So we blow Shofar on Matzah Yom Kippur to show that the Shechina is going back. So it implies that the whole time of Yom Kippur there was a special Hashruas HaShechina. And then Tosfos and Brachos adds on the meaning that we recite seven times Hashem Hu Elokim, but there's only one God, Hashem Echad. So what are you saying seven times Hashem Hu Elokim? The Mishnah says in Brachos, one that says Shema Shema Mishasken Osa. Not going to say anything about the Ribbono Shel Olam more than one time. It sounds like you believe in more than one deity. So how do we say seven times Hashem Hu Elokim? The Tosfos says no. We are greeting, we are bidding farewell to the Shechina. The Shechina was with us for the duration of the whole Yom Kippur. So we're bidding farewell to the Shechina. The Shechina goes from our location to the first heaven, for the first heaven to the second heaven to the third heaven, and the Gemara Chagiga in the second parak establishes, based on Sukkim in Tanakh, that there are seven heavens, as the English expression goes. Someone's in the seventh heaven. So the Gemara says, there is Ayin Rikim Hein, and each Raki has a different name. So we are bidding farewell to the Shechina, Hashem Hu Elokim, Shechina should go back. So we assume that the whole duration of Yom Kippurim, there is a Hashruas HaShechina. Rav Soloveitchik suggested as a possibility, an original suggestion, that there's a big discussion in the Mefarshim on the Machzor, what is Kol Nidri all about? Why do we have Hatoras Nedarim as we enter into Yom Kippur? So some Jewish German professor of history from 150 years ago made a fascinating suggestion that Yom Kippurim is the day on which we celebrate the Kabbalah's Torah Shebal Peh. He didn't know from the Beis HaLevi with the Rav Shlomo LaVilna, but he just writes historically there used to be a parade in Egypt, in Alexandria, every year on Yom Kippur. They had the Karoim, who didn't accept the Torah Shebal Peh, they only followed Mikra, and they had the Rabbanim, who did follow Torah Shebal Peh. So he used to have a parade, like Chabad has a parade every Lag BaOmer, whatever. So that's, I don't know exactly what that parade is supposed to represent. So in Alexandria, the Jews used to have a parade on Yom Kippur to demonstrate that they do subscribe to the Torah Shebal Peh. So apparently, he doesn't know why, this German Jewish professor. He says Yom Kippur was designated as a day on which we celebrate the acceptance of the Torah Shebal Peh. Rav Soloveitchik explained why, and Rav Shlomo LaVilna explained why with their sources. So this professor suggests that since the Mishnah says in the end of the first parak in Chagiga that Hatoras Nedarim Hetan Nedarim Parchem Boazir Vein Lahem Al Meshe Yismochu, there's no source in Torah Shebitzah. It's purely an oral tradition. Parchas Ba'avir, it's transmitted. Hafara is in Chumash explicit. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that we stay away from Hafara today. We don't do Hafara because it's so restricted. The husband or the father can only be made from Dvarim Shebinah Lebinah. Nidre in the Nefesh, and there's so many different opinions in Tanoim, and most of the time it doesn't qualify. Most of the time the father or the husband does not have the right to be made from. So we stay away from Hatara, usually, from Hafaras and Dvarim, what it says explicitly. But Hataras and Dharma, that doesn't appear anywhere in Chumash, Elam HaMeshi Yismochu, you don't even read it in between the lines. That's the simple reading in the Mishnah. It's only like Halacha Moshe Messina, no Mokram at all. So that we do practice Bizman HaZeh. So to demonstrate on Yom Kippur that we subscribe to the Torah Shebaal Peh, we're not from the Katak Aroim, so we do an act of Hataras and Dharma. We recite Kol Nidre. That's what this German professor suggests. All kinds of different suggestions. Why do we introduce Yom Kippur with Hatoras and Dvarim? All kinds of suggestions. So Leitch gave a different suggestion. He said that the uniqueness of Yom Kippurim is that there's a special Hashuas HaShchina. How do we know that that's so? Well, all right, we assume that that's so. We blow shofar at the end of Yom Kippur, and we recite seven times Hashem Hu Elokim because the Shechina is leaving. So apparently the Shechina was there the whole time. So to introduce Kedushas HaYom of Yom Kippur, we start off with the Hatoras and Dvarim about Yom. To be Moisib Mechoel HaKadosh, how do you get Yom Kippur to come earlier? You bring the Shechina down earlier. How can you force the Shechina to come down earlier? The Pasuk says in today Shir Shal Yom, Elokim Nitzah Badaskel, that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises whenever you'll have an honest bezin. If you have a crooked bezin, the Baruch Hu is not going to join. But if you have an honest bezin, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that he will join them to help them pass him properly, that they shouldn't make a mistake. So this is Rav Soloveitchik's suggestion, that perhaps the reason why we introduce Yom Kippur with Hataras Nedarim is to pull the Shechina, to force the Shechina to come down, and that's what the Kedushas HaYom of Yom Kippur is all about, that you have Ashuras HaShechina. So this is what he said over from the Bnei Yisoschar. Bnei Yisoschar says that many have the practice, Hasidim have it, many Mishnagdim also have the practice. They don't say Yom Kippur. They don't say Yom Kippuri. They say the Yom HaKadosh. Why don't they say the name? What's the matter? You're not allowed to pronounce the name of Yom Kippur. What are you not allowed to pronounce? Zesh mili olam zesh zichri ledor v'dor. You're not allowed to pronounce Shem Hashem. So he says, he makes an equation. Apparently we assume that Yom Kippur is like the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On Yom Kippur, there's a special Hashuas HaShechina, and in it is if the Kedushas Yom Kippur represents the Shem Hashem. So the meaning is that you don't even pronounce the name Yom Kippur, like you don't pronounce the Shem Yudkei Vavkei. And what does it mean? Keep Yom Hazeh with the Kedushas HaYom of Yom Kippur. What is the essence of the Kedushas HaYom? That you have the Ashuras HaShechina. Keep Yom Hazeh Yechaper Aleichem. What does it mean? So Rav Soloveitchik explained. This is in the Bnei Yisoschar. Just like the Psukim in Novi, in Yeshaya, compare Chet to a soiled garment. A person has a dirty beggar. So how do you get the stain out? So sometimes you soak it in water and it comes out. Sometimes that's not enough. You have to rub. Sometimes you have to use detergent. You have to rub. You have to rub and rub and rub till you get it out. So here also, when a person does Avera, so his soul becomes stained. Nichtam avonech lefanai. The sins cause stains in the soul of the person. So sometimes you have to rub in order to get the dirt out. So what are you rubbing with? So that's what the Psukim say. You rub, if you rub shoulders with the Shechina, if you're rubbing up against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's a way to purify the souls. So that happens on Yom Kippur. There's a special Ashuas HaShechina on Yom Kippur. Ki b'yoyim hazeh yichaper aleichem. With the Kedushas HaYom, not only on this day, b'yoyim. That's why the Kohen Gadol says in the Vidui, on Hashem Chatos, the Kohen Gadol says Vidui three times on Yom Kippur. So he says for himself, and it's for his wife and his family. The second time he says for all of the Kohanim, the Shevet Guna. The third time he says for all of Klal Yisrael. So he says each time, Ona Hashem Chatosi Avisi Poshaiti. And he says, Ona Bashem. First is Kotzi Yerushalmi. Second time he says, Ona Bashem. Kapana Lachatoim Lavonis Lapshem. What do you mean, Ona Bashem? It doesn't make any sense. Ona Hashem, please God. Say, Ona Hashem. What do you mean, Ona Bashem? The first line doesn't make sense either. Ona Hashem Chatosi Avisi Poshaiti. Ona means please. He didn't say anything yet. He just says, please, I sinned. He didn't say anything. He's going to say Ona the second line. Ona Hashem Kapa Nolach HaToim. That makes sense over there to say Ona, please. Why do you say Ona on the first line? That's also a Pella. What do you say Ona Hashem? Now, so then she used to say over from the Rabbonim, the Darshanim in Europe, that they said very often it's very difficult for a person to admit that he made a mistake. We're all human beings. Everyone wants to be greater than everybody else. Who has the ability to admit? Everybody thinks that what they do by definition is wonderful. So we have to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us assistance. Please give me the ability to cough up these words, to say Chatos Avisi Pashaiti, and to mean it. Most people don't mean it. They don't think that they did anything wrong. It says in the city, you got to say this. I say it, but I don't mean that. That's a problem. A person really, that's how they say from the name of the Baal Shem Tov, the Ramban HaChumash asked the Kasha, if people do tshuva, so the sins are forgiven. So what happened with the Ma'apilim? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Bnei Yisrael that they're going to have to be in the Midbar for 40 years, so the next day, the people were upset about that, so they did tshuva, and they said, okay, we're going to Eretz Yisrael. But Ya'apilu la'alo sahar. They said, okay, we're doing tshuva, we're going to go to Eretz Yisrael. And the tshuva was not accepted, and they were all wiped out by the goyim who lived in that neighborhood. So Ramban asked, but they did tshuva. Why wasn't the tshuva accepted? So there's a famous comment that they say in the name of the Baal Shem Tov, they have an chassidish svar. They never said, they never had a hakara sachet. How do they say it? Ki omar Hashem ki chatonu. Hinenu v'yalinu al horas ha-shomar Hashem. Hinenu, how does it say? Hinenu v'yalinu, anybody? Baal Peri. Hinenu v'yalinu. Hashem Hashem ki chatonu. So the simple reading of the pasuk is, okay, we're prepared to go to Eretz Yisrael, the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to go to, Hashem Hashem, kama, ki chatonu, because we admit that we sin. So the Baal Shem Tov interpreted, ki omar Hashem ki chatonu, because the Baruch Shalom said we sinned, okay, so if he says we sinned, Hashem namagadu, okay, we're doing tshuva. But they never admitted that they sinned, so that's not called a vidui. A vidui is that you admit that you did something wrong. Hakoras Achet is the first step, that's the most difficult. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said, that Darshanim in Europe used to say, you got to say, on the first line, please. On Hashem, Chatosi, Avisi, Pashaiti. A person has to ask for Siyaita Rishmai, that the Rabbanu Shalom should give him the ability that he should have a Hakara Sachet. That's on the first line. But then the second line, how do you translate the second line? On a Bashem, Kapandola Chatoim, Rabbanu Shalom. What do you mean, Bashem? Tosis in the Rush, quote from the Yerushalmi like that. The first time you say, on a Hashem, and the second time he's saying, Ona Bashem Kapana Lachatayim Lavanatam. What do the words mean? How do you translate it? So Rav Soloveitchik thought that what it means is, you don't say Ona Bashem pause. Ona Hashem pause, Chatas Avisa Pashaitim Lavanacha. So you pause, you put the comma after Ona Hashem. You don't put a comma, but you pause after Ona Hashem. But Ona Bashem doesn't make any sense to pause after Ona Bashem. So he thought that you have to pause after the word ona. Bashem kapadala chatoim la'avanas lapshoim. With the koyach of the shem Hashem, that's like the pasuk says, ki bayoyim hazeh yechaper aleichem. With the kedushas hayoyim of Yom Kippur, what's the kedushas hayoyim consist of? It consists of the hashuas hashchina. So that's why we say, Bashem kapadala chatoim la'avanas lapshoim. By being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should forgive our sins. So that's just how do you translate the words of the pasuk? Doesn't only mean on this day, it means with the koyach of the kedusha sayyim, with the hashuas hashchina. And that's why the Kohen Gadol says, ona, pause, bashem kapadala chatoim lavanas lapshoim. With the kedusha sayyim means with the hashuas hashchina that's here, on Yom Kippur especially, we should get a kapara. But then how do you end off? How does the pasuk end off? Ki bayom hazeh yechaper aleichem tar eschem. How do you punctuate the pasuk and how do you translate the pasuk? So the Tana and the Mishnah, I forgot already which Tana. The Tana and the Mishnah interprets. Ki bayom hazeh yechaper tareschem mikol chataseichem lefnei Hashem kama the Torah. Lefnei Hashem is a description of which averus. Mikol chataseichem lefnei Hashem that Yom Kippur is only a mechaper. And Averis should be Onam Lamakam. Averis should be Onam Lachavera, and Yom Kippur Mechaper, unless Achi Ratz is Chaver. If he's Mephais is Chavero, so then he has to do Tshuva on Yom Kippur and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for forgiveness. Every Averis should be Onam Lachaver is also an Aver be Onam Lamakam. How do I babble the other person who has a Tzelem Alekim? I'm a Vaza the Tzelem Alekim in the person. So it's a Bizoin to Kvod Hashem. Kavod Abriz is really a Chelik of Kvod Hashem, Kvod Hashchina. So that's how the Tana and the Mishnah punctuates the pasuk. כי ביום הזה יחפר לכם מטהר אתכם מכל חטאתיכם לפני השם כמה כתורו. יודה תנועים נגמר. So that's why there's a whole simon of Shulchan Aruch that you have to be mefais other people. Whole discussion, a long discussion in the Gemara in the end of Yumin about different amaroim, the way one has to go es mechila and erev Yom Kippur if you really ba'abled somebody else. The other tanoim disagree with the punctuation of the pasuk and they translate differently. Ki ba'yam hazeh chaperachem tarechem kol chataseichem pause lefnei Hashem tetoru. That phrase goes together. That's what Rabbi Akiva says in the Mishnah, disagreeing with the other Tan. He says, "Asherechem Yisrael lefnei me'at metarmi metareschem." Hakadosh Baruch Hu is metar, as it says, "Lefnei Hashem tetor." So he puts together the phrase "Lefnei Hashem tetor." Doesn't put together "Kol chataseichem lefnei Hashem." "Kol chataseichem pause." "Lefnei Hashem tetor" goes together. What does that taka mean? "Lefnei Hashem tetor." So the Rabbi Yonah says that in addition to the mitzvah of tshuva all year long, there's a specific chi of tshuva on Yom Kippur. Based on this pasuk, lefnei Hashem tetor, you should purify yourselves on Yom Kippur. So Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shari Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yonah understands lefnei Hashem means on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur we are in the state of lefnei Hashem. So lefnei Hashem tetor, you should purify yourselves. Rambam also writes like that, but he doesn't base it on the pasuk lefnei Hashem tetor. Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva writes, since Yom Kippur in miskeitz mechila slicha, since Yom Kippur, you have a meiridik opportunity to get atonement, to get forgiveness for all the sins. So if the person has an opportunity to get kapar and he doesn't seize the opportunity, so he deserves to be punished for that itself. So therefore, the Rambam writes, there's an added chi of tshuva. There's a mitzvah of tshuva all year long. Whenever a person realizes that he did an aver, he has to do tshuva right away. As soon as he realizes, he has to do tshuva. But on Yom Kippur, because there's a special opportunity for mechilas avinos, so there's more of an obligation. But the Rambam does mention on this pasuk lefnei Hashem tetor. So the Rabbi Yonah reads the pasuk like the other tanoim. Lefnei Hashem tetor goes together like Rabbi Kiva, not like Rabbi Lozim and Azariah. And he understands the pasuk lefnei Hashem tetor on Yom Kippur, you should purify yourselves by doing tshuva. The Ramban, in the end of Yuma, the Magen Avraham quotes the Shalom, who quotes this Ramban. The Ramban understands the Gemara next to the last daf in Yuma, talks about reciting vidui an erev Yom Kippur before you enter into Kedushas Hayom. So where did the Tanoim get that idea from? So the Ramban claims that that's based on this pasuk, lefnei Hashem titaru, and he doesn't. The Ramban was a mechutna of the Rabbeinu Yonah. The children were married together. They had big respect for the Rabbeinu Yonah. They say when the first grandchild was born, so he said, they should name him after Rabbeinu Yonah, because he was a holy tzaddik. So the Ramban doesn't agree with this Rabbeinu Yonah's interpretation, lefnei Hashem. That means an Yom Kippur, titaru. Lefnei Hashem, the Ramban interprets, before you enter into the Kedushas Hayom. Lefnei Hashem, like lefnei bo Yom Hashem. Lefnei Hashem means prior to entering into Yom Kippur Titaru, you should purify yourselves by doing tshuva and reciting vidui. So that's along the lines of the Rabbeinu Yonah, but he translates the words lefnei Hashem differently. Instead of learning like the Rabbeinu Yonah, an Yom Kippur Titaru, you should purify yourselves. Lefnei Hashem means immediately prior to entering into the state of Yom Kippur. Lefnei Hashem, before.
How do you read
the pasuk then? If you have lifnei Hashem titar, what do you do with Hashem? He assumes that Hashem, Shem Hashem, represents kedushas Yom Kippur, and lifnei means prior to. How does it fit in? So he says before you enter into the state of Hashem before
Yom Kippur.
Right before the hashras hashchina comes, that you should recite vidur. So that's what the Magen Avraham quotes from the Shalom. The Ramban has like this. The Mikra, then you should really recite vidui before, as one is about to accept Kedushas Hayom. So that means after the Sudam of Sekas. But we're afraid, maybe someone will come late to Shul, and he'll just run it to Shul, and it'll already be after the Shkia. Or someone will get a little drunk in the Sudam of Sekas, and he won't be all there. He won't be able to recite vidui. So that's why the Chachamim introduced that you should recite vidui at the end of Mincha, you should have Mincha before the Sudam of Sekas. Then, if a person finishes the Sudam HaSekas and comes to Shul in time, So then it should really recite Vidui a second time. That's when the Magen Avraham quotes from the Shaloh, based on the Ramban, to fulfill the Ikir Adin. The Chachamim moved it up to Mincha prior to the Sudam of Sekes, in case Shema Yera Dvar Kala B'Sudam. Maybe he'll dilly-dally, and maybe he'll be a little tipsy, and it won't be able, the Sudam of Sekes will prevent him from reciting Vidui. But if it didn't prevent him, so more correct is to repeat the Vidui again. So that's why they have in the Machzorim, they printed the Vidui of the Chayodom, the Tfilozak of the Chayodom. In other communities, they say the Vidui Mamash just to repeat the Vidui as one is entering into Kedusha Zayin.
Does the Kiva argue on the
doors of
an Asaya that the Kiva
Yom I don't know if he disagrees on the Halacha that he said, he disagrees on the way he punctuates the Pasuk. Could be that Misvara he agrees with Rav Loz ben Azar. It makes sense. That's a Mishnah Bava Kama, where you don't even need the that's the problem that Mefarshim has. Why do you have the same Mishnah twice? In the Mishnah in Achoibel it says that the Achoibel Bachaber is Chayv L'Shalom Chamisha Dvarim. Then it says, and even though he paid him all the money, he doesn't get a Mechila, and Achi Yifai says Chaber. So why does it have to be repeated in Yuma? It already says it in Bava Kama. So what's added on by Rav Loz ben Azar in Yuma? So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said over, also in the name of Rabbanim, European Rabbanim, Darshanim. They suggest that Rav Loz ben Azar is adding on that if a person is not Mefais Chavera before Yom Kippur, so that's a Dava Pashut. It says in the Mishnah Bava Kama that Yom Kippur is not Mechaper. He doesn't get a Mechila. Rav Loz ben Azar says he doesn't even get a Mechila on the Averish of Minorim HaMokom, that Yom Kippur is not Mechaper LaHatzoyim. Either it's Mechaper all or nothing. So if you weren't Mefais his Chavera, and the Mishnah says in Bava Kama, if you're not Mefais Chavera, Einam is Kapalo, so Rav Loz ben Azar says, Ein Yom Kippur Mechaper at all. Afilo al Aver Shebein Adam Lamokim is not Mechaper. That the Mishnah continues to compare Mechila Kapara of Yom Kippur to a Tara B'Mikveh. What do you need a Moshel to a Mikveh? So that's what some of the Mefarshim say, that you can't have Tfilo Lachatzoyim. Person goes to mikveh, so he has to submerge his whole body under the water, bevasachas. So the same is true regarding Yom Kippur. Either it's mechaper everything or it's not mechaper at all. So Rav Loz ben Azar says that once you have the Mishnah Bava Kama, it says that an aver should be an adam lachavero, you have to be mefais as chaver. Kolzman is not mefais chaver, there's no mechila at all. So Rav Loz ben Azar says Yom Kippur is not mechaper, even an aver should be an adam lamakom. I remember I was once speaking in Eretz Yisrael. So the one who introduced me was the judge, Shofet Alon. What's his name? Menachem Alon. So after I said this over in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, so he didn't like that. So he gave a running commentary after I sat down. So he said, wow, that's a wild thing to say. He wouldn't agree with that. Okay.
There's still things that even Rav Loz is still kippur than kippur quotes. It's still a hatzayim.
You mean even Rebbe? What do you mean?
Meaning it's not all of them are mechaper, only certain things.
It's like, totally. Mean Yom Kippur is mechaper, but not totally. But here he says not mechaper at all. He says the person that wasn't mefais chavero, so Yom Kippur has no effect at all on the avero shemeron lachavero. It didn't begin to be mefais chavero, so that it doesn't begin to do any kapar at all on the avero shemeron lachavero. And then you have the Rav Sadia Goen, some interpret the Rav Sadia Rosh, in the end of Yuma quotes, Rav Sadia Goen's practice was, he says you have to go to mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur and say a bracha. You have to go to mikveh on a kosher mikveh and recite a bracha. So the Rosh says, this is wild. What do you mean say a bracha? It's only a minig. Why does the Rosh get so excited? The Balei HaTeis said a bracha on a minig. You say Chatzi Halal on Rosh Chodesh, you do say a bracha. Apparently he doesn't think that this is such a widespread minig. It's not such a universal minig that everybody goes to mikveh. So he says, how can you say bracha? It's only a meaning, means probably not even a universal meaning. So the Sama Farshim, the Rav Yeruchim Pela, has this extensive pirush, and they say from Mitzvah Rav Sadia Goen. So he claims that Rav Sadia Goen holds that it's a mitzvah min hatorah, it's not a meaning. And the mitzvah min hatorah is this pasuk, lefnei Hashem titorah. He also understands like the Ramban, lefnei Hashem means prior to entering into Yom HaKippurim. And Titora does mean to purify his soul by doing tshuva, reciting vidu. Titora means you should go to the mikveh. So that's what the Mechaber writes over here in Simetov Reish Vav, Siv Dalet, that everyone should go to mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur. They ain't a mevarach ala tefillah, but v'choshes for the rush that we don't say a bracha. But they speak about going to mikvah. Here the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Achronim that men and women and children and even single girls, everybody goes to mikvah. So on the single girls, that is not our practice. They don't allow single girls to go to mikvah. In Yehudeya, many years ago when they started the style that we have now, that as soon as everybody graduates high school, so they all go to learn in Eretz Yisrael, a year or two. So about 40 years ago, 45 years ago. So the girls came back from learning in Eretz Yisrael a year, so they said they learned Shulchan Aruch. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that the single girls go to Mikvah, and Yom Kippur. So they went to Mikvah, and they wouldn't let him go. So they said, what's going on? But it says in the Mat Ephraim. It says in the Mishnah Berurah like that. So he called up Rabbi Moshe. Rabbi Moshe said, we don't follow that. But the other Achronim say that we don't allow single girls to go to the Mikvah. Because the Gemara says that the Rechamisha Inuyim on Yom Kippur. The Gemara says there's only Koris on Achil Ashtiyah. And the other four Inuyim, there is no Koris. And this is what leads the Rabbeinu Tam to assume that the other Rabbo Inuyim, Rechitz, Sich, and Nil Santa Ashramit, is only with the Rabbanim. If it's all Minatar, how come on this discourse that there's no Koris? And the Rambam seems to disagree that on this discourse it's all Minatar, and some discourse, some does not Koris. How do you take one Pasuk and split it? That half has Koris, half doesn't have Koris. So we have like that. You have an Issa Dam, you have Pesukim that Dam is Osir, and some Dam has Koris, and Dam HaYivorim does not Koris. If you take a piece of meat and you squeeze out the blood and you drink it, we have Bayosit, so everything is cooked already. So we, this Ashkenazim, assume that Dam Shebishlo is only the Rabbanim. Because Dam Mevushal is not kosher l'zrik al gabi hamizbeach. And the prohibition against eating Dam is because Kiosin asat lechem l'chaper al hamizbeach. So Dam Shebishlo is not kosher l'zrik al gabi hamizbeach, so it's only an Issa de Rabbanim. But let's say it's not Dam Mevushal. I take a piece of raw flesh, a piece of raw chicken, I squeeze out the blood and I drink it. So that's an Issa deraisa, but there's no Koris on that. The Rambam quotes the Gemara's increases. There's only Koris on Dam Shanashama Yogsabo at the time of Shechita. And the Gemara tells you when the color starts changing, when the blood is gushing out from the throat. So there's a certain time when that's Dam Shanashama Yogsabo. And what Dam Halev, the Rambam says, Dam Akonis Balev is Koris. And all the rest of the Dam is an Issa deraisa, there's no Koris. It's not such a tiny what the Rabbi Natan has. How can it be that if all the Hamishim knew him, how can it be that on some there's Koris and on some there's not Koris? So that's a machlokes. So the Rambam holds that the Rambam seems to hold pretty explicitly that all the Hamishim knew him, that's what the Bach said. They all quote the Bach. The Bach says, according to the Rambam, all the Hamishim knew him, and the Rabbi Natan, the Baal HaTosfos hold that all the others are the Rabban. So the first Mishnah in the last Perek in Yuma quotes Tanoim who say that the Melech is allowed to wash his face on Yom Kippur, because the Melech, the Pasuk says, Melech b'yofyo techazem einecha. Melech has to look good when he appears in public. So what is he going to do on Yom Kippur? He's not going to wash him, he's going to dam b'yichidus. He has to go to shul, he has to go to Beis HaMikdash, whatever. So he's allowed to wash his face. Akala. A girl just got married within the last month, so Kala Rachetzes Paneha. So the Baal HaTosfos asks on the Mishnah, the Tosfos Yishonim, if one should assume that the Shari Nuyim is an Issa Deraisa, so why are you Mekel like this? An Issa Deraisa, the only way you can be Mekel is you have Sakona, a Sofek Sakona. But Mam's no Sakona at all, just because we want the husband shouldn't lose his love for his wife. He just got married, so we give the Kala a break, we allow her to wash her face. She should look good for her husband. Or we allow the Melech, we say Melech has to always look just so, well-kempt and so on. He has to take a haircut every day, he has to shave every day, whatever, clean shaven. He should look good. So the Melech is allowed to wash his face. If you're dealing with an Issa Deraisa, that can be matter if you have less than a suffix sakana. So the Tosfos Yishonim on the Mishnah wants to prove from this that all the Shari Noam are only the Rabban. But then they say, truth of the matter is, it doesn't really prove our point. Even if one should assume that rechitza is an issa deraisa, it's only if it's rechitza's kolaguf. You're just going to wash your face, you're not going to wash kolaguf. That l'choladeh, even according to the Rambam, they say, even if one assumes that rechitza is deraisa, that's not going to be an issa deraisa. That's what the Tosfos Yishonim writes on the Mishnah. The Achronim ask Akasha, why don't you say chatzi shir osam anater? If you're not allowed to wash kolaguf, so washing mikzas menaguf should be a chatzi shir. So the answer, that's not Kol Chatzik Shia. There's a Meiri in the beginning of Shabbos, where the Meiri asked the Kasha, if Chatzik Shia was Asman HaTorah, so you're not allowed to carry Dalai Lamas and Rishus HaRabim, that's an Iser Shia Sholem. So if you pick up an object and you put it down two Amas away, that should be Chatzik Shia Asman HaTorah. And according to some readings of the Gemara, that's Mutar even with the Rabbanim. Pick something up in the street and put it down two Amas away. Many hold that that's Mutar even with the Rabbanim. There isn't even an Iser Rabbanim over there. So what happened to the principle of Chatzik Shia Asman HaTorah? So the Miri said, that's not a Chatzik Shia. That's a Chatzik Malacha. Chatzik Shia is if I carry an insignificant amount of food, and insignificant, I carry a little bit of paper, a little bit of metal, I didn't carry enough. So if I carry another little bit, later on in the day, it'll be and another little bit, so it'll all add up. So that's Chazir Litztaruf. But if I carry two amas and I put it down, I carry a piano, two amas and I put it down, that's not a Chatzir Shir, that's a Chatzir Melocha. That's not called a Chatzir Shir. So that's what they say over here also, that if the yisad derisas rechitzas kol haguf means you're not allowed to take a bath, not allowed to take a shower. So washing your face or washing your hands is not a chatzis shir of taking a shower. Rechitzas kol haguf is one thing, and rechitzas mitzvah min haguf is not even a chatzis shir. Truth of the matter, we really should have said the same regarding eating on Yom Kippur. Why is the shir on Yom Kippur different from kol haTorah kula? That with respect to eating, the shir is kosevus agasa. With respect to drinking, the shir is malay lugma. What happened in Kol HaTorah Kula? The shir is kazayis for food, and kosevus agasa is bigger. Manashtana, why is the difference? So the Gemara says because on Yom Kippur, it doesn't really depend on achil shtiya, it depends on yisuvei daita. The nisim as nafshe said, it depends on yisuvei daita. That's the lashon Gemara. So one could have argued the point and said, Yisuvi Daita, it doesn't make sense to have a Chatzis Shir of Yisuvi Daita. If you're still starving, if you eat a Kazayis, that's called, and call it Torah Kula, eat Chazer. So if you eat a Kazayis, that's a Shir Shalom. You eat a half a Kazayis, that's a Chatzis Shir Asman HaTorah. That we understand. But all over in Shas and Bavli, they don't quote the Machlekes of Yechem Yishlokish in other cases. The original Machlekes is quoted in the beginning of the last Perek in Yuma by eating on Yom Kippur. Eating on Yom Kippur, Rabbi Yechanan should have agreed that it's only an Issa Derabbanan. How can you have a Chatzis Shir of Yisuvei Daita? It doesn't make sense. So that's what the Chasam Sefer talks about that in his Chidushin, Maseches Yuma. He points out that the reason why the Talmud Bavli wrote the Machlokes, recorded the Machlokes by Yachil on Yom Kippur, because if it would have only recorded the Machlokes like the Yerushalmi has it by Zav Shachal Truma, Yerushalmi and Trumas has it by Zav Shachal Truma, Chatzis Shir. So he says, if the Bavli would not have recorded the Machlekes by Yom Kippur, Hasvar and Hasanis, we would have said that even Rabbi Yechanan should agree. The Chatzis Shir Asman HaTorah really shouldn't apply to Yom Kippur. There is no Chatzis Shir of Yisuvei Daita. It's either there is Yisuvei Daita or there's no Yisuvei Daita. So that's why the Bavli wrote a bigger Chiddush. Not only does Rabbi Yechanan hold Chatzis Shir Asman HaTorah, Macholas Asurais, where it's Chatzis Ditz Tarufa, even over here by Yisuvei Daita, we also say, that Chatzis Shir is Asman HaTorah. Anyway, so Allah HaMaisa, the din is that Rechitza is also on Yom Kippur. Machlek is the Rambam and Tais, where the Rechitza is Kol HaGuf, is an Issa Derais and Issa Derabon. Mitzvah HaGuf, so Tais wants to defend the Rambam. Even according to the Rambam, the Rechitza is an Issa Derais, just to wash Panav Yadav Raglav, that's Mitzvah HaGuf, that's probably for sure only an Issa Derabon. So what if a person has to go to Mikveh? A person is Tomei, and he has to go to Mikveh on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says that's permissible. An Adam Tomei goes to Mikveh Yom Kippur is permissible. Why is that? So the Rishonim explained that's not called Rechitza Shel Tainu. By definition, we say Rechitza is only also on Yom Kippur if it's Rechitza Shel Tainu. If it's Rechitza, if it's Tefillah in the Mikveh, so that's not, by definition, that's not called Rechitza Shel Tainu, so it's Mutar. The Gemara says, Afilu L'Hoshet Detz Baktana L'Mayim. Should put your little pinky into water. Whenever the rechitza is not mitztaref l'dover achet, then I automatically declare it as a rechitza shaltaina. But if a person is tevel and mikveh because his tummy wants to get rid of the tumah, so the Gemara says that that's not called rechitza shaltaina. Tosis in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Chav shows that there are two sugyas, a sugya in Yom and a sugya in Shabbos, the two different versions as to understand why is that the case. Why do you say that if a person is tummy and is tevel and a mikveh, it's not labeled as rechitza shaltaina? So one version in the Gemara is that this is only so, this is only true, if one should assume that tefillah is mana mitzvah. The Gemara has a machlokes satanoi, whether tefillah is mana mitzvah, tefillah is mana eina mitzvah. And in the days of the Gaonim, it was a machlokes, and most of the Gaonim assumed tefillah b'zman mitzvah. Days of the Rishonim, it was again a machlokes, most of the Rishonim assumed tefillah b'zman lav mitzvah. That's a Tosis in the first Perek in Yuma has this machlokes of Rabbeinu Tam and his brother-in-law, Rabbeinu Eliyahu. And the Balamor quotes in the days of the Gaonim of Balamor and the Ravid Balei HaNefesh. Balamor and the Ravid learned from Harusa. So the Balamor always has Hasogas on the Ravid, on the Balei HaNefesh, and the Ravid has Hasogas on the Balamor, on his Chibur on the Rif. The Ravid is always masking everything the Balamor says is no good. Either it's wrong or he stole it from me. Whenever he's masking, he says, gone for me eating. He stole it from me. They learned from Harusa. So either he stole it from me, or he says it's, or it's wrong. Utchavrusa. So the Balamor in his Hasogas on the Balei HaNefesh Laharayvid records that in the days of the Gaonim, Rav HaGaonim were of the opinion that Tefillah b'zman mitzvah. And then there was a shift in the days of the Rishonim. Rav HaRishonim held Tefillah b'zman lav mitzvah. So Tosfos in Shabbos Daf Kufchav points out that the Gemara in two different Masechtos has slightly different presentations. Why is it that Kol Chavit Tefillos Tovelin Kedarkan on Yom HaKippurim? Why is it permissible to be Tovel on Tisha B'Av and on Yom Kippur? What happened to the Issa Rechitza? But the answer is Tefillin and Mikveh for the sake of Tara is not called Rechitza Shaltani. Why not? So one version in the Gemara has it that it's only true if you hold Tefillah B'Zman HaMitzvah. So it's a mitzvah to go to mikveh today, not to postpone till tomorrow. So since I'm doing a l'shem mitzvah, my motivation is l'shem mitzvah, not l'shem tainuk, so that's why it's not called rechitza shel tainuk. The other version in the other mesicht is that it's not so. It's not based on tefillah b'zman mitzvah. B'zman hazeh, it's accepted. Rav HaRishonim holds that tefillah b'zman alav mitzvah. That's what Rabbeinu Tam holds, disagreeing with his brother-in-law, Rabbeinu Eliyahu. So Rav HaRishonim holds that tefillah b'zman alav mitzvah. And we still say mikveh, then it's mutter to go to mikveh. Tommy's allowed to go to mikveh on Yom Kippur because a tefillah hametaheres, it doesn't have to be that it's a mitzvah. Even if it's not a mitzvah, a tefillah hametaheres that removes tumah, that's halachically declared as rechitza sheinah shel tainuk. The motivation to go to mikveh is in order to accomplish tahara. So Medina de Gemara, it says that if a married woman has to go to mikveh, on Leil Yom HaKippurim, so it says in the Gemara, she's allowed to go to Mikveh. So Tosfos writes on that Gemara, Tosfos in Beitza, comments on that Gemara, Bizman HaZeh, we don't follow that din. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Why? Because Bizman HaZeh, nobody is Oisek in Tumah V'Tahara. Bizman HaTalmud, Bizman HaTanoim HaMoroim, we want everybody to be Tohar. If the woman is not going to go to Mikveh, so whatever she's going to touch the children, she's going to touch the food, and the plates, and the bed. The women used to have two different beds, they had a different bedroom. The Mishnah describes it in Nida. There was a Beis HaTumas. When the woman was Nida, so she slept in one bed in one bedroom. When the woman went to Mikveh, she slept in another bed. Those who couldn't afford to have two beds had to schlep the bed to the Mikveh every month. The Mishnah in Mikvos talks about schlepping the Mikveh to the bed. And the headboard is taller than the depth of the Mikveh. So how can you be, you can't be Tovel L'chatzoyin. So you push it in the mud. You push the feet into the mud. So what does it help? You're being Tovel a little at a time. So the Mishnah has a whole discussion, how can you be tovel the bed and the mikveh? So that's why the normal practice was that they had two beds, a bed that was tam, a bed that was tam. In the days of the Tanoim, the women had two different sets of clothing. When the woman, otherwise she has to be tovel all of her dresses in the mikveh. She had a set of dresses that were miyuchad, lavsha bigden idusa, and then she had other dresses that would be made taharas. Otherwise she has to be tovel all the clothing in the mikveh every month. It's quite good. Take all the clothes to the cleaner, to the mikveh. Every month, then you have to give it to the cleaner again. It'll cost a fortune. So, Bizman HaGemara, Bizman HaTanoim, where the people were Nizra and Tumah V'Tahara, Kohanim would be eating Trumah. The Gemara says, Chavrai Medakan B'Galilo. The Gemara says in Nida, in the first parak, that the Talmid HaChachamim in the Galil, in the northern part of Eretz Yisrael, still had Eifa Parah. And they still would use the Eifa Parah Duma to be Metar people from Tumas Meis. Because they wanted to eat Trumah in Eretz Yisrael. Trumas, Chutzlaritz, is mutter to one who's only a tummy base. It's only us, Truma's chutzlah is only us to a coin to eat if he has a tumah yotzol migufa. But Truma and Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to eat if you're tummy. So deep into the days of the Amorim, they were still chavrai medakan bigalila. The Tamir Chachamim, the Chaverim, the religious Jews would be metar themselves with the Paraduma water. So bizman atana, bizman amarayim, it was still relevant that a person is tahor. So the women who were nida would go to the mikvah and leil yom kippurim, and then they would wear their other clothing, then they would sleep in the other bed, and so on. Bizman hazeh, Taisus says that everything, the whole tum of the tara aspect is irrelevant. We're all tamei meisim anyway. Everybody's tummy anyway. No one's eating any truma. No one's eating any meisim. There's nothing to discuss. So the whole relevance of going to mikvah is only for married women with respect to heter labailo. So Taisus says, so on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, she's asura. That's one of the chamisha inuim. She's not pentaris labailo. So we don't permit her to go to the mikvah. We'll allow her to go to the mikvah. We will be misleading her. She'll think that she's mutaris labailo, and the din is that it's not so. So it's based on that Taisus that the Rivosh is quoted in Yeridei that we don't permit single girls to go to the mikveh either. She wants to go to the mikveh, it's Erev Yom Kippur. Yeah, but Bizman Hazeh, it's assumed that the whole relevance of women going to mikveh, now that people want to go on Harabais, okay? So it's important to go to mikveh before you go on Harabais. But until recently, nobody was going on to the Harabais. And the whole relevance of going to mikveh was only for married women to be Mutar Labailo. So Tishba of Yom Kippur, she's Asura Labayla anyway, so we don't allow the women to go to mikveh. That's what Taisus points out, that's what's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. That Heter in the Gemara, that Kol Chabit Tfilas Tovin Kedarkam, the Tishba of Yom Kippurim, no longer applies Bizman Hazeh. Bizman HaTanoim, that they still observe Takana says, whether the Balkari is not allowed to daven, so let's say the fellow becomes a Balkari in the middle of Yom Kippur. He wants to daven, so he has to go to the mikveh in order to be able to daven. So the Gemara says we allow him to daven, but they repeal Takana says. So the whole relevance of going to mikveh is only for married women to be mutar labayla. So whenever she's going to be asur labayla, we don't allow him to go to the mikveh. Let's say a woman is in the middle of shiva. So also we wouldn't, and then leil tefilasa turns out to be in the middle of shiva. Middle of shiva, the woman is asur b'tashmish amita. That's one of the prohibitions of avela. So we wouldn't permit the woman to go to mikveh. Middle of shiva. The shad is, what if she's not in shiva? What if her husband's in the middle of shiva? So she's muteris, but she only has one husband. The husband in the middle of shiva. That's a shayla. That's a shayla.
Maybe
she should be following the machlokes. Shayla, okay. Yeah, we follow Taisus. There's no Taisus proves it. If the shachan Yeridei quotes this. If we would have pasken tefila b'zman mitzvah, we would have insisted that all the single girls have to go to mikvah also. We don't insist that they have to go to mikveh. So obviously we have accepted the position tefila b'zman alav mitzvah. So the whole relevance of going to mikveh is for married women to be mutar labayla. So now we say, whenever she's not going to be mutar labayla, like a single girl on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, if the woman is middle of shiva, then we don't allow. The shaila is, what if the woman is not in shiva, her husband is in the middle of shiva? So that's an interesting shaila. So if you look in the tshuvas of the Maharam Shik, so he has a tshuva to Rab Shlomo Breuer. Shlomo Breuer was engaged to marry Rabbi Hirsch's daughter. So when he was engaged, he was going through a Hilchas Nida. So he raised this question: what if the husband's in the middle of shiva? Would you say the wife is not allowed to go to the mikveh? So he sent a shadow to his Rebbe, to the Maharam Shik. So he writes him a tshuva. He wishes him mazel tov on his forthcoming marriage. And then he has a tshuva halacha lemaisa on the topic. It's an interesting shot.
That was why the men go to the mikvah on their Yom Kippur. Whatever that reason is, the woman should go for the same reason.
Yeah, so that's what they're afraid, that this will mislead the women to think, mislead the single girls to think that that they're allowed to be mezana. So we don't allow single women to go to mikvah.
It's possible to say that Yom Kippur is a mitzvah to prepare for Yom Kippur itself by eating and by preparing for the fast.
Yeah, Rav Sadia Gaon holds that, it seems to hold that it's a mitzvah min haTorah, lefnei Hashem to Torah. But we don't really follow that. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. You don't say a bracha because it's only a minig. He's quoting from the Rosh. What do you mean it's only a minig? It means it's not even such a widespread minig. It's not such a universal minig. Even the married women don't go also. Yeah. Yeah, we've done away with this. They really haven't accepted this Rav Sadia Gaon's idea. Shagazari raises the suffix in his tshuva, says there a mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The original pasuk only says on Sukkot v'samachta b'chagecha. There's a mitzvah of simcha. That's why on Sukkot he says man simcha senu. Why Sukkot is more simcha than the other Yom Tovim? Because that's where it says in the Chumash v'samachta b'chagecha. But we assume la halacha that there is a mitzvah of simcha on Pesach and on Shavuos as well, because all the moadim are hukshu hadadim, shalosh regalim are all compared to each other. So the Shagzai raised the question, should we assume that there's a mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur or not? So Rav Soloveitchik always used to say that the Mishnah in Moed Katan, in Perek Ela Megalchen, records the following din. If one is in the middle of Shiva, and it comes Yantav, so Yantav cancels Shiva. One is in the middle of Shloshim, and it comes Yantav, so Yantav cancels Shloshim. But if one is in the middle of Shiva, Shloshim, it comes Shabbos, so Shabbos does not cancel. So one could have said, of course Shabbos doesn't cancel, so you never have Shiva, you never have Shloshim. Shabbos always comes in the middle of every 7 days, there's a Shabbos. So Tyson says that's not the real reason why. That's not the reason why. Tosis quotes the Yerushalmi because on Yontav there's a mitzvah of Simcha, and Simcha and Avelis are tied to the Sasri. So that's why Yontav cancels whatever Avelis one is in the middle of. But Shabbos there is no mitzvah of Simcha. Shabbos there's an inyan of Kovid, Kibud, Oinik, other things. We don't observe Avelis Bechahesi on Shabbos because the Pasuk says in Mishlei, on Shabbos it says, Shabbos is a day on which it's a day of bracha. And the pasuk says initially, Birchas Hashem hi tashir, a blessing from the Rebbe Shalom, you'll strike a rich. There won't be any sadness. Because of the Yosef Etzavimo, that's why one doesn't observe Avelis Befeyesef. But on Shabbos there is no mitzvah of simcha. Why do we say Yismechum Malchusch on Shabbos is a good question. And the Stechemid dedicates around 6 pages. He quotes a whole likut of Achrayim who discuss it. Everyone pulls in a different direction. Rav Soloveitchik had his own interpretation on that as well. Why do you say Yismechum Malchus Chan Shabbos? But we assume that the reason, the explanation for the din, why does only Yontav cancel Avelis and Shabbos does not cancel Avelis? So the official explanation that Tosfos quotes from the Yerushalmi is that on Shabbos there is no mitzvah of Simcha, only on Yontav. So what's the din on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Did they cancel Avelis or not? So that's a machlokes hatanaim. Machlokes hatanaim in the Mishnah. So how do we paskin? So we paskin that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur do cancel Avelis, but you still can't tell what does that mean. That could be that we paskin that there is an actual Chiyuv Simcha. It could be that we paskin Halachik Diramekel Ba'Avel. Like we said, Kalamekel Ba'Avel, Halachik Masa B'Chutz Loretz. Any Sofik Kolduhu in Hilchas. In Hilchas Orla B'chutz Laretz, so you go Lekula. So here also in Avelis we have such a rule. Any Safik Kaldahu, whenever there's any Machlaikas on anything, so you always have a right to go Lekula. So the Mishnah records there is a Machlaikas Hatanai. So it could be that we really don't paskin that there's a Chiyuv Simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, but we still say, since there is a Tana who was of the opinion that there is a Chiyuv Simcha, that that's why he cancels Avelis. So that's a question. Usually Ein Simcha Ela B'Bas V'Yayin. So maybe over here you have to be in the mood. No Bas V'Yayin, you have to be in a cheerful mood.
How do you explain the Mishnah of Tainus?
It sounds like there was a big Simcha, yeah. So the Pashto says that there is a mitzvah of Simcha on Yom Kippur. If Yom Kippur, why should we distinguish only Yom Kippur? Because Yom Shinit Mo Luchas Shnias. So the Pashto says we really assume both Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. There is a mitzvah of Simcha. The Gemara says that the Malachi Hashores asked the Rabbanu Shalom. It's a little strange. They ask every year the same boring question. They already heard the answer 5,000 years ago. But the Gemara, maybe they once in the history of the world, the angels asked the Rabbanu Shalom, how come the Jewish people are not reciting Halal on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? What's the matter with them? Such wonderful days. So the Rabbanu Shalom answers, no, the Jewish people understand. So if you made some silchim lefanai, what shaykh that they should say Halal? So what is the yisoid of Chiyuv Halal? So the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvah explains based on the Gemara in Erechen on Daf Yud that the Yisoid of Chiyuv Halal is it's an expression of Simchas Yom Tov. That's why the Gemara says, why don't you say Halal on Shabbos? The Gemara says it's not a Moed. On Shabbos there's no Chiyuv Simcha. But the Gemara says on the Yom Tov there is a Chiyuv Simcha. And Rosh Chodesh is also, Rosh Chodesh is called a Moed. So the Gemara asks, why don't we say Halal on Rosh Chodesh? So it would appear, that's the Ramban shows, it would appear from the Gemara that the reciting of Halal is an expression of Simchas Yom Tov. So the Gemara posed the question, why don't we say Halal Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So the Rebbe Shlomo answers, the Malachi Ashor says it doesn't make sense. When the Rambam quotes that Gemara, he says that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur are not Yimei Simcha Yisera. So it sounds from the Rambam that they are Yimei Simcha, but it's not Yimei Simcha Yisera. We don't have to go so far as to recite Hallel, but we should be in a happy mood. Yeah, like the Mishnah describes in the end of Tainus, that they were very jolly. The celebration of Yom Kippur in the days of Gemara used to be very jolly. Tainus, in fact, with the Kriya Satara Mincha on Yom Kippur is in Parsha Zachary Mois. The end of Parsha Zachary Mois is about Gili Arayis. So what's the, why is that in Yonah Diyama? So some of the Balei HaTais say, because he's to make a lot of Shidduchim on Yom Kippur. So they have to read which relatives you're not allowed to marry. The Chazer Oladinim, in case a guy falls in love with his aunt, or something like that. So you have to, don't forget, there's still Dinim of Gili Arayis.
The recital don't be a makor that there would be a bracha on
Pashto says that yes. Pashto says that if a person, some of these people go on the Harbayis, so they go to Mikveh, they go on Harbayis, so they say Bracha, Allah Tvila. So that's questionable. Is that really right? Because according to the Ravid, we assume Lo Kitchulasi Lava. There is no Kedusha to the Harbayis. So the bracha may be a bracha levatol. You don't need the whole tefillah. Tommy is permitted to go. But let's say if it's man amigdosh and a person is tummy, wants to go on the harbayis, or he wants to go to mikveh to be able to eat truma, to eat maaseh sheni, Pashto says he would say a bracha.
Why would Pashto say that?
Right. Right. Yeah, so Lechik said, according to Nusach Ashkenaz, he has a good teretz. Why you say Yismachu Malchus? He said Nusach Svard, you say it not only Musaf, you say it in Myrit, in the Shakras, in Mincha, you say Yismachu Malchus. But Nusach Ashkenaz, you only say in Musa. So he says, Rav Soloveitchik said that on Shabbos there was a Chiyuv Simcha in the Migdosh in conjunction with the Akravas HaMusafim. Whenever you muchiv to be in the Beis HaMigdosh, you're always Lefnei Hashem. There's always going to be Simcha. So he says, when you daven Musaf, that's reminiscent of bringing the Akravas HaKarbonos HaMusafim in the Beis HaMigdosh. So in connection with the Musafim, there's a Chiyuv Simcha. He says, Nusach Svart, he says, I'm not responsible. He says, I didn't understand Nusach Svart. Why Nusach Svart has Yismachu Malchuscha, not only in Musaf, but even in Shakras as well. So that's what the Sechemet, Davin Nusach Svart. He has a long arichas on this. He quotes different suggestions. How do you say Yismachu Malchuscha on Shakras, on Shabbos? Every day, yeah. Every day in connection with the Karban Tumim, there's always, but it's not unique. The Shabbos means every day of the year. Every day of the year, when they brought the Tuminim, there was a bit of a Chiyuv Simcha and Hakhanah. We assume that only Rechitza Shel Tainug is Asa. If a person's hands are dirty, that's not v'chitzo shaltayim, is allowed to wash. So that's why we assume that one is permitted, or if a person wants to be tovel in the mikveh in order to be tohar, so he's allowed to do that. So let's say the kohanim want a duchan on Yom Kippur, and the Gemara says, su yidechem kodesh v'orcho es Hashem. The Gemara says, in Saita, the kohanim have to wash their hands before they duchan. So that's permissible to wash their hands before they duchan, because the motivation to wash is not called shaltayim. He wants to be able to duchan. There are communities where the Levim wash their hands before they pour the water on the Kohanim's hands. So the Mata Ephraim says, if that's the Minig HaMakom, so the Levim are permitted to wash their hands also. Because that's not called Rechitza Shel Tainug. He's washing his hands because the Din requires that he has to wash his hands. Like the Zman HaGemara, a Balkari wasn't permitted to daven, Zman HaTanoim, so they were permitted to go to Mikveh in order to be able to daven. So here, the Kohanim and the Levim are washing their hands in order to be able to do it. So that's not called shaltayim. What about washing your hands in the morning before you daven? So that's a machlokes harishonim. So our practice is like Taisus, we follow Taisus. Taisus says that you do wash your hands in the morning. before you daven. And the Rambam writes that you don't wash your hands. The Rambam wasn't concerned about the ruach ra. The Rambam thinks that washing hands in the morning is to prepare for davening. And you got to wash your hands before shacharis, mincha, and ma'ariv each time. But he says that's not the same as the kohanim washing their hands. Not the same as going to mikveh, balkeri going to mikveh. If Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to wash your hands, so you can daven without washing your hands. You wipe your hands off on a midah d'menachah, then you're allowed to daven. So the Rambam's opinion is that you don't wash your hands in the morning, and you don't say on until sedai in the morning. And our practice is like Tosfos, that we're concerned about this ruach ra that the Gemara talks about, that we do wash our hands in the morning. So the Shalos, how far do you wash your hands? Everybody knows that all year long you wash till the wrist, and on Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur you only wash till the knuckles. Why manishtano? So the Beis Yosef explains the background. The Gemara says that when you wash until it's a dying for bread, you wash it until it's a dying for davening, or in the morning, you have to wash ad haperek, until that joint. The Amor is pointing on his arm, till that joint. And when it comes duchening, you have to wash till the next joint. So which joint is he talking about? So Rashi learns that when you wash for bread, you wash for davening, you have to wash till the wrist. When you wash for duchening, they have to wash till the elbow. Obviously, nobody does that. Nobody washes till the elbow. So obviously, we haven't accepted Rashi's opinion. So we follow Taisa's opinion that when you wash for bread or in the morning, you just have to wash till the knuckles. And when you wash for duchening, you have to wash till the wrist. A lot of times the kohanim don't wash till the wrist. They only wash up this halfway on the hands. So that's for sure wrong. According to Rashi, you got to wash till the elbow. And Taisa's is mekel, it's enough if you wash till the wrist. But it has to be the whole hand till the wrist. Not the same as in the tilis the dying for bread, and mikra din, it's enough over here. So the Beis Yosef recommends all year long we should be machma like Rashi. Why not? Use a little extra water and then wash all the way till the wrist. Be machma like Rashi, but on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, where there's an Issa Rechitza Shaltaining, there's an Issa Rechitza, and the only Rechitza that's mutter is that Rechitza that the Halacha requires. So since Halacha L'maisa Al-Pidin is only required up until the knuckles, so that's what we do. So the Beis Yosef writes that the first time you wash till the wrist, before Bar Mitzvah, when you're 6 years old, or 4 years old, you start washing your own hands, so you should say Bli Neder. The Beis Yosef recommends whenever you want to do a Midas Chasid, you should always say Bli Neder, otherwise it'll become obligatory. So what are you going to do on Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur? You'll be obligated, Midas Toiv is Banim Mitam Neder, this is a Midas Toiv, B'Choshish Barash Shita. So the Beis Yosef says, the first time in your life, Mustam at the age of 6, it can't be Mekabel Neder. Mustam the year before Bar Mitzvah, the year before Bas Mitzvah, okay. So when the boy is 12 or the girl is 11 years old, and then if they take a neder, it's binding, a minig is binding mitam neder. So the first time they wash, after their birthday, after the 11th or the 12th birthday, they should say Bli Neder. It's not as that we don't say Bli Neder, because the children before that, they already know from the kids of Shulchan Aruch that that's what they're going to do. So it's built in. This is the minig, it's built in. You know that all year long you wash till the wrist, and on Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur you wash until the knuckles. But the Akronim quote this Beis Yosef for other things. The Meir Arik has in his Tshuvas and Imri Yoshi, he says there are three opinions regarding Maisek Sofim. Whether Maisek Sofim never really appears in the Gemara. It appears in Chumash. But the Gemara does that, appears in Chumash. Yeah, Gavina says, Parashatit Nali, Aser Asan Allah. He promises he's going to give Maisek Sofim. So maybe the Gemara doesn't have to mention things that say in Chumash. There are a lot of Psukim in Chumash that don't say in the Gemara. They're binding anyway. Parashat Bechsav is also binding, not just the Torah Shalom. So Tosfos in Tainus quotes the Sifrei. Aser ti'aser, it says a kefal loshen, so it's marbi even maisek sofim. So some Rishonim hold that that's a din deraisa, drosh gemura deraisa, maisek sofim is deraisa. Others hold that it's only the rabbanon. It's usually assumed that it's not even that. It's usually assumed that it's only minis chasidus. If one is able to, we assume that maisek sofim is a reasonable amount of tzedakah. So that's where a Meir Arik writes, the first time a person gives Maisek Sofim, he should say Bli Neder. So in case 1 year it'll be too difficult for him to continue this practice, so he shouldn't be bound mitam minig. One of the Hamishi name is Nilas HaSandal. So the Gemara has a Machlekes HaTanaim regarding Nilas HaSandal. The Gemara has a Machlekes regarding Chalitza. A chalitza shoe has to be a shoe. Tal Pidin is a shoe, anything that's needed to megan, even if it's sneakers, even if it's not made from leather material. Or maybe I should say that there's a pasuk in Yecheskel that indicates that shoes are only considered sandal if it's made from leather. The pasuk in Yecheskel describes the way the Rabban Shalom took care of the Bnei Yisrael, like a mother, people take care of a baby that's just born. That you wash the baby, then you smear with oil and you straighten out the legs and you put on a diaper and you clean everything up. So the Rabban Shalom did all of this. And then the Jewish people, after Yetzias Mitzrayim, he did this. It's like a baby is born, so the Klal Yisrael was born. After Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Jewish people emerged as a nation. So the Rabban Shalom took care of everything, and then he clothed us and he put on leather shoes. The Navi says, Ve'en olech tochash. I put on nalayim, you put on little leather shoes on a little baby shoes from tachash skin. Ve'enolach tachash. It's not to be taken literally. We weren't wearing tachash shoes in the midbar, but it's a malitza that Rabban Shalom took care of all the needs. He didn't put on diapers on us either. He didn't shmir us with oil. But it means he took care of Bnei Yisrael like one would take care of a little baby. So the Gemara quotes, one Tan is of the opinion that now for the purposes of Yom Kippur, according to the Rambam, it's a din deraisa, now for the purposes of Chalitza Sandal, is only now for a Shiva one, when it's sitting Shiva, that's for sure only the Rabban, not for sure. So that's also deraisa. Leave us a sandal for one sitting Shiva. So one Tan is of the opinion that it's only considered a nal if it's made from leather. So that's the opinion that's accepted in the Shulchan Aruch. That any shoes other than leather shoes may be worn on Yom Kippur. The Balamor paskins the other way. The Balamor paskins halacha lemaisa. Balamor on the bottom of the rift. One alone pachamusa with the rabbit. So the Balamor paskins like the other tanim. That anything needed to make it. He holds that it's good for chalitza. You can do chalitza by taking off sneakers. And if you wear sneakers on Yom Kippur, it would be an issa. So the Vilna Gaon is quoted as recommending Sharon Shuvah quotes some Achrayim say that since according to the Rambam you're dealing with an issue derais and Nilas Asandl could be an issue derais, so maybe one should be a little bomidakbeg, maybe one should be machmer more than what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch it says anything that's not made from leather is okay. So some are machmer, maybe anything needed to megan to be choshish for the opinion of the Balamor. Our Soloveitchik always used to say that based on the Loshan Aramba, the Rambam says you shouldn't wear shoes in order that it should be margish koshi ha'aretz. So he used to say if you want to wear sneakers, it has to be without arches. If you have flat sneakers that don't have arches, that's okay, because it's margish koshi ha'aretz. But if you have sneakers, all the normal sneakers have arches in them. So he thought that according to the Rambam, one, that would be aser. And he thought it's, maybe it's kedai. He used to recommend that it's kedai to be choshish. But the Shita Saram. Anyway, but the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say. Shulchan Aruch it says that anything that's not made from leather is okay.
That's from the Rambam defining what Magen is?
Yeah.
Magen is a feeling. Nothing to do with the
top of the Shulchan. The Rambam holds has to be Magen, I guess so, yeah. Meet the Magen. Yeah. You can wear socks, or you can wear things that are not megan, things that don't really protect the feet. Based on this prohibition of Tashmish Amito, one of the Chamish Inuyim, so the Mishnah Psochim has a whole perek, Mokm Shenogu. It speaks about different minhagim. They had Mekomis where they had one minig, comes to another minig, and each Mokm has to observe their minig. So the Mishnah says that there were different minhagim regarding hadlokas aneris on Erev Yom Kippur. On Erev Shabbos is Mishnayis, that's by Mamadlikin. There's a takanas chachamim to be madlokas aneris. And Tosfos quotes a machlokas, Tosfos in the first Mishnah by Mamadlikin. It presents a machlokas, do you recite a bracha when you madlokas aneris? So they quote one opinion that Balei HaTos, no bracha is to be recited. Gemara says that Halakas Haneris is Choyva. So this Balataisa says that that expression Choyva is a technical term that means something you have to do, but it's not a mitzvah. Like the Gemara says, Mar Mishanim is a mitzvah, Mar Machranim is a Choyva. So why did they change the Lashon? So the Tosfos says over there in Kol HaBasar, Chulim, Perek Kol HaBasar, Mar Mishanim is a mitzvah, so he said, Bichas HaMitzvah. Asher Kedishan HaBim Mitzvah, so it's Ivan HaMitzvah. Mar Mishanim is a mitzvah, so Mar Mishanim is a mitzvah, means that no bracha is recited. There are certain things that you have to do, but they're not mitzvah. Let's say when you salt the flesh. You have to salt the flesh, otherwise you'll be eating the dam. It'll be awesome, but that's not a mitzvah, salting flesh. It's a procedure that has to be followed. It's a chayva. So the Gemara uses the lashon and the halakas haneris is a chayva. So this leads one of the Balei Tosfos to understand it's something, a procedure that has to be done, but it doesn't. It's not really considered a mitzvah. So that's why no bracha is recited. And Tosfos says we don't follow that opinion. We follow what it says in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that you do say a bracha. Where is this Yerushalmi? The later Achaim said there is no such Yerushalmi. So what is Tosfos lying? How does Tosfos say it's Yerushalmi? It's not Yerushalmi. So the Achaim say, Tosfos uses the term Yerushalmi for all outside sources other than the Talmud Bavli. You got Talmud Bavli and everything else. Like when I was single, I learned here in the yeshiva. So I always thought, there's our yeshiva, and then there's some other yeshiva somewhere. Some people call it Chaim Berlin, Tarvadas, and you realize that there are 10 different yeshivas. I thought there's one yeshiva. Everybody has a different name. I once mentioned to Rabbi Michal Shurkin, your father's a Rebbe in Tarvadas. I beg your pardon, my father's a Rebbe in Chaim Berlin. So what's the difference? Oh, big difference. You're so touchy, but big difference. I don't know. So that's what Tosfos has, that's what Salma Chaim said. Tosfos has a Lashon. Talmud Bavli, we know what it is. Yerushalmi means all other literature, all other Talmudic literature. So they say in the Tshuvas HaGadim, they say like that, that you have to say a bracha. So Lamaisa, we recite a bracha and Hadlokas HaNeiros on Erev Shabbos. Erev Yontif is different in Hagim, whether you recite the bracha and Hadlokas HaNeiros or not. Most people have the practice that you do recite the bracha. Some, Chacham Avadia quotes, some Svardashi Kehillas had a practice that they don't recite a bracha and Hadlokas HaNeiros on Yontif. And some give the historical background that why did the Goyim introduce? They want to say the Goyim introduced the bracha and Hadlokas HaNeiros on Erev Shabbos. Why? Because the Goyim were dealing with Karoim. And the Karoim said that they translated the pasuk Lo Sivar Reish B'chol Mashmaseich B'Yom HaShabbos, that you're not allowed to leave lights on Erev Shabbos. You have to sit in the dark. And the Chachamim said that that's not what it means. Lo Sivar means not to do Havara, not to do Hadlokas Neiros, not to cause something to catch flame, but to leave lights on for Erev Shabbos, that's okay. So in the days of the Goyim, when this fight was becoming stronger, so that's what some want to say, that the Goyim introduced the bracha to emphasize that you're not doing an aver, adirabi, doing a mitzvah by lighting the candles. But on Yontif, even the Karoim agreed that's Oichal Nefesh. You're allowed to light candles on Yontif. If it's dark in the room, there's no issur. So it wasn't necessary for the Goyim to introduce a bracha and Hadlokas HaNeiros on Yontif, because that wasn't the battlefront with the Karoim. They were only fighting about Shabbos, they weren't fighting about Yontif. So there is such a practice, but that's not our practice. Our practice is, we assume that it's a mitzvah of Hadlokas HaNeiros on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, and one recites a bracha. On Erev Yom Kippur, it's clear from the Mishnah they never instituted a takana to be Madlik as HaNeiros. It all depends on Minig HaMokim. Mokim Shenogel Lahadlik Madlikim, Welcome Shinaga Lola Hadik Aimadlikim. So the Gemara says that the both minhogim stem from the same idea. The idea being that married people are not allowed to be together on Yom Kippur, there's an Issa Tashmish Amito. So some had the practice Bedavki to have a light on, to light candles on Erev Yom Kippur. So they know it's also the Shamish Mitosali are on there. So this prevents them from having Tashmish. So then you should really light the candles in your bedroom. How come it doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch you light in your bedroom? It's Muvah Me'elov. They didn't have 10 different rooms in the house. The house consisted of one room. The bedroom was the living room, was the dining room, was the den, was the kitchen. It was all one room. Everything was one room. Everything was one room. So when you light, when you madlikim is aner, so that was the neris. We're in the bedroom. But as much as that, we have different rooms. So the makam madlok is aner. So married people should really be the bedroom. And that the other meaning of Bizman HaTanoim was that Bedavka not to light candles on Erev Yom Kippur, because if he's going to light candles, he's going to see how good looking his wife is, he'll find it very appealing. So he may have a desire to violate the din of Tashmish Amit. So it's better to have the house dark. So the two minhagim really only apply to married people. The Makom Shenogel Lahadlik, Makom Shenogel Shelo Lahadlik. It goes to married people, it doesn't go on single people. So in Shulchan Aruch, there's a machlekes, the Mechab and the Ramah. Does one recite a bracha when fulfilling a minig? when you have the minhag to recite Chatzi Hala on Rosh Chodesh, so the Mechaber follows the Rambam that a bracha is not recited. You can't say Kedushanam b'mitzvos of Tzibon if you're not even mechuyib in the Rabbanim to recite the Chatzi Hala on Rosh Chodesh. And the Ashkenazim, the Ramah, quotes the Bali HaTesvus that we do recite the bracha on Chatzi Hala on Rosh Chodesh. So that machlekes is repeated over here. Mechaber says that those places where the minhag is that they Madlikim is aneris, aner of Yom Kippur, it's only a minig, so no bracha is recited. And the Ramah says no, that our minig is that we do recite, our practice is that we do recite a bracha, even when fulfilling a minig, so you should say a bracha. Mechaber writes, when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, then everybody agrees that you have Yimachuyif to be Madlikim is aneris, and you say a bracha for sure. And once you're saying a bracha, then Meisla Sal Hadlik Nesh on Shabbos, Vishal Yom Kippur. You're saying a bracha anyway. So that's what the Vilna Gaon and others ask Akasha, how does the Mechaber say that when Yom Kippur falls in on Shabbos and the holidays, you have to be madlik and you have to say a bracha? Why is that so? Why is it that it's clear from the Mishnah is that when Yom Kippur falls in on a weekday, you're not mechuyev to be madlik as on Eris? What happened to the Takanos Chachamim on every Erev Shabbos, every Erev Yontov to be madlik as on Eris? The answer is, hadlokas on Eris, the Iker hadlokas on Eris is to enhance the meal. So on Yom Kippur there is no meal, so that's why they never instituted Hadlokas Aneris. What motivated the Chachamim to introduce Hadlokas Aneris is that the meal should be more pleasant. Then there's a detail, major detail, Machlokes, which the Magen Avraham quotes. What if the Balabasta wants to light Neris somewhere else? Like sometimes the women would go to Mikvah on Leil Shabbos, Leil Tfilos, it was Leil Shabbos, so the woman would light Neris in the shul. The mikveh used to be in the basement of the shul, so the woman would light neris in shul. So some achrayim say that it is acceptable, even though it's not halakha the base. But the ikar takana of hadlaka saneris on Shabbos Yontov was the purpose of the takana was that you should be madlik from makam achila. Is it acceptable if you madlik shalom from makam achila? Is a machleika. So we're makel on that. But the ikar takana had to do with eating a meal. So on Yom Kippur, when there is no meal to eat, so that's why they never introduced the takan of hadlokas aneris. So that's why it depends on makom shenogah. But if Yom Kippur chol is b'Shabbos, you can't say, well, the Shabbos you're mechuyev to be madlokas aneris. No, this Shabbos you're not allowed to eat, so there is no takan. So that line in the Mechaber is questionable. What the Mechaber writes, that when Yom Kippur chol is b'Shabbos, l'chol ha'deis one is obligated to be madlokas aneris, and for sure you would say bracha. Why should it be for sure? According to the Minig Ashkenaz that we recite a bracha on a menhagim, yeah, for sure. You say a bracha on a regular Yom Kippur also. But according to the Minig Sfar, that the Mechaber doesn't say a bracha on a Minig, and he doesn't say a bracha on Adlokas Haneris on Erev Yom Kippur, so even if Yom Kippur is Chaliyas B'Shabbos, should have also been not Mechuyiv to be Madlik, because there's no Chiyiv Sudim. Apparently they were never misakin for Sholem Bayis alone. Otherwise you don't understand the Mishnah. Why is Hadlokas Aneris and Erev Yom Kippur all dependent on the Minig HaMokam, and it's all based on the Tashem Shemir? What happened to Sholem Bayis? So apparently the Sholem Bayis alone is not sufficient cause to institute a takana. The Sholem Bayis plus, then it's going to be enhancing the meal. On Yom Kippur there's no meal, so they never, there is no takana.
Isn't this a bigger tradition in Ramah that it's a siyat and it's still a problem? Not only a
minhag,
it's also
a sayach, maybe it's not a minhag,
it's
a yachim, okay. It is a
chiddush. I'm sure it's a chiddush.
Because there's no chiyuv oneg. Could be. It means that when it's chali is b'shabbos, it is a chiyuv oneg. Could be. Could be. Okay. Could be. The Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos writes that there are four mitzvahs on Shabbos. There's a Zachar v'Shomer and Kibbutz V'Yoni. Shama means that to do malachas. Shama Shabbos means one who doesn't do malachas. And Zacha means to recite Kiddush. And Kibbutz V'Yoinig is Medivri Kabbalah. That's in Yeshayah. Zacha V'Sham is in Chumash. Kibbutz V'Yoinig is in the Novi Yeshayah. So the Gemara Masechah Shabbos comments on the Pasuk, on the phrase of the Pasuk in Yeshayah, L'Kedosh Hashem Mechubad, זה יום הכיפורים שאין בו לא אכילה ולא שתייה, כבדהו בקסוס נקיה. So when the Gemara signals out that Yom Kippur is referred to as Yom HaMechubad, Mekdosh Hashem Mechubad. Why is that? Why do they assume that Kibbud refers to Yom Kippur? So the Meiri, and the Gemara explains, that on a regular Shabbos you have Kibbud V'Oineg. On Yom Kippur there is no Oineg, because there's also B'Achilu Shti and also B'Tash V'Shamito. So there is no Oineg, so all you have is Kibbud. So that's why the Meiri interprets in the Gemara that you should be more medactic in the kibbud on Yom Kippurim than you would normally do for a regular Shabbos. So what does that mean? So the Gemara says, Kabdeh biksus nekiyah. Rabbi Yochanan Kari Lamani Mechabdusa. Rabbi Yochanan used to refer to the clothing that he wore as Mechabdusa, gives the person self-dignity. He feels better and other people will be more respectful of him if he wears nice begotten. So that's why on Yom Kippur he's supposed to wear special begotten. What special begotten do we wear on Yom Kippur? More so than all year long. So that's what the Miri comments on that Gemara, that we have a minig that we wear a talus all day long. You wear a talus to Mairev, and you wear a talus to Shachas and Musaf and Mincha and Hila. All day long you wear the talus. Usually we only wear the talus in the morning. You take it off after Musaf. You don't wear a talus to Mairev. And then many have the minig, they only wear a kittel on Yom Kippur. Some have the minig, they wear a kittel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Others have the minig, don't wear the kittel on Yom Kippur. Why? That's because of this din, Kedosh Hashem Mechuba, that we wear special devotam on Yom Kippur, different from every Shabbos and Yom Kippur, because we are not able to do any oneg, so we double up on the kippur. So that's what someone suggested. We were discussing Hechos Yom Kippur on Shabbos Shuvah. So one of the boys suggested Medina de Gemara, the whole idea of Hadlokas Aneris, the whole meaning is only for married people. The single people, there's no inyan of Hadlokas Aneris. Someone suggested, maybe not so, because in the Shulchan Aruch they say, the tour quotes from the Goinim, that on Yom Kippur, you should light more candles in the shul. Because the Pasuk says, Kavdu as Hashem Bo'urim. Bo'urim, Pashup Shaburim means in the caves. And the tour quotes from the Targum Yonath and Ezeel that the word Bo'urim means Bepanasaya, with lanterns. It means that on a regular Shabbos Yom Kippur, you have the shul lit up. On Yom Kippur, you have more lights. People would, in Europe, they didn't have electric lights. So they used to light Yahrzeit candles. And many people bought a lot of Yahrzeit candles. It was more lit up. So maybe that's the reason why today single people have the practice of lighting Neiris on Erev Yom Kippur. Not based on the Mishnah and Pesachim. Mishnah and Pesachim has to do with married people only. Based on this Inyan and Shulchan Aruch, that you're marbid b'hadlokas haneiris on Erev Yom Kippur. Questionable. I don't know. Very questionable. The Gemara says that the Chazan who repeats the Shemoneh Esrei from Musaf has to go through the Seder Havayda and the Chazaras Hashach. So the Beis Yosef was a Sfardi, and he said the Nusach Svard, the two texts of the Seder Havayda, Nusach Svard, Nusach Ashkenaz. The main difference between the two is that the Avodah was done in five units. The first unit of the Avodah was done in Big Day Zov, like the Kangaroo wears all year long, the Shemayna Begadim. The second unit was done in the Big Day Lovon, Yom Kippur Dikin Begadim. The third unit was done in Big Day Zahav, the fourth unit Big Day Lovon, the fifth unit the Avodah was done in Big Day Zahav, regular. So the Mishnah spells out every single step of the way, every carbon, how many carbonas are brought, machlekes hatanaim, how many carbonas are brought on Yom Kippur. It's not so clear how to read the chumash. How many carbonas are brought, how many animals are carried, and exactly when every carbon is brought. The one carbon that's left out is the Tamash al Bein Abayim. It doesn't say in the Mishnah when they brought the Tamash al Bein Abayim. So it's a machlekes Rashi in the Rambam. It was the HaKrovas Tamash al Bein Abayim done during the third unit. It was done a Big Day Zov. Was it done by the Kangol in the third unit of Avodah? Was it done by the Kangol in the fifth unit of Avodah? So that's the main difference between Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Svart. Nusach Ashkenaz is faithful to Rashi's opinion, and Nusach Svart follows the Rambam. There's another difference that some people pointed out. Rav Soloveitchik printed a whole Shtigl Torah. Why is it that the Mishnayos describe in Maseches Tomid that every kohen who entered the Azorah in order to do any sneeze of an Avodah, it says Mishtachva v'yotze. Before they leave the Azar, they have to be Mishtachva. That's learned out from the Pasuk by Bikurim. Yishtach v'yisal afnei Hashem elokecha. And the Vilna Goyim claims that that's not a unique din in Hilchos Havos Bikurim. It's a din kol anichnasim lazar have to be mishpachim. So how come in the whole Maseches Yuma from the beginning to the end, Kohen Gadol is there all day long and never says that he does ishtachvayo once? So Nusach Svarta does say ishtachvayo once. But in Nusach Ashkenaz it never says. So Rav Soloveitchik, Shtigl Torah, he says Nusach Ashkenaz. He says he would have preferred to say Nusach Svarta because it's more correct than Nusach Ashkenaz. But what can he do? His family tradition is that they say Nusach Ashkenaz. So the Beis Yosef said, Beis Yosef was a Sfard, he used to say Nusach Sfard. So the days of the Beis Yosef, Nusach Sfard had more mistakes than Nusach Ashkenaz. So there's a long page in the Beis Yosef where there's no Tur at all, there's no Bach, only Beis Yosef took over the whole page. And he has paragraph after paragraph after paragraph. He corrects everything in the Nusach Sfard based on Abu Dram, based on other sources. So after the days of the Beis Yosef, it turned out Nusach Sfard is better now than Nusach Ashkenaz. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said, he would have preferred to daven Nusach Svarat, but what can he do? His family tradition is that they daven Nusach Ashkenaz. So the Chayyadam says we got to fix up the Nusach Ashkenaz. So the Chayyadam tells we got to correct a little bit. So one of the corrections he points out is that this the Beis Yosef points out from the Abu Dram, that in all the standard Machzor it only says twice. The Kacho Yamoina Achas, Achas V'Achas, Achas V'Shtayim, Achas V'Sholosh. And he's supposed to say it four times. The Kohen Gadol did it four times. He did it with the Damapur in the Kodesh HaKadoshim in front of the Paroiches. And he did it with the Damasoyer in the Kodesh HaKadoshim in front of the Kaporis. And then in the Hechel in front of the Paroiches. So that's number one. He should say four times instead of two times. And the Yekesh HaMachza has three times. Why they made a compromise, I don't know. In the standard edition, it always says, he took the Damapur Achas Achas Taim, and then he repeated the same thing in front of the Paroiches. And it says he takes the Damasoyer Achas 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 Taim, and then he repeats the same thing in front of the Paroiches. Why should that three times? Nishtahim, Nishtahem. But that's their meaning. They say three times. Then the Balatanya points out that there's a glaring error. The Kohen Gadol said the Shem Amforish 10 times on Yom Kippur. He said 3 times when he said the Bidui, Ad Hashem, he said they pronounced the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. It's not exactly clear what the correct pronunciation of the Yud Kei Vav Kei is. So the Tosfos Yontif on Mishnah Yuma quotes 3 opinions. What the correct pronunciation, what the Nekudas are supposed to be. Doesn't matter, we don't pronounce it. Someone's preparing to become a Kohen Gadol, so he'll have to study that Tosfos Yontif to find out. So the Kohen Gadol, when he says, Ona Hashem, pronounce the Shem Hashem. Then he says, Ona Bashem Kapano. So he says, he doesn't say Bashem, he says Yud Kei Vav Kei. Then he says, as it says in the Chumash, Lifnei Hashem Titaru, so he says, L'shem Hashem, Tichsovai, the third, when he mentions the Pasuk, so each Vidui says Vidui 3 times, and each Vidui says Shem Hashem 3 times. What is that? 3 times 3 is 9. So when is the 10th time that he pronounces Shem HaFarish? So that was when he said, L'Hashem Chatos. So in the regular Machzor, it has each time that the Kohen Gadol says Vidui. So we have a Karmam Ham, the Mazar, a Karmashtaf, and when he heard the Shem Amforish. So we have it 3 times after each one of the Vidui. So the Balatani points out that it's supposed to be written the 4th time. You should say after Lashem Chatos, you should have that paragraph in sort of a Karmam Ham, the Mazar. The meaning of the Balatani in the back of the Siddur of the Balatani, they quote that his practice was to say a Karmam, but he told the people not to bow down. They only bowed down the 3 times. During the Vidui, Bakanavam, and in Olenu, he only bowed down 4 times. Some reason why, even though you say Akanavam a 4th time by Lashem Chatos, they shouldn't bow down. Rav Soloveitchik introduced in his minyan that they bowed down the 3 times by the Viduyan, and then the 4th time by Lashem Chatos, and then the 5th time by the Olenu, all 5 times. And the new Machzah that they printed last year for Yom Kippur, this year they put out a Rosh Hashanah Machzah. This year they put out a Yom Kippur Machzah. So they quote, I didn't remember this at all, the Rabbi Soloveitchik's practice was, said where he came from, the minhag was, that they left the Aron Kodesh open the whole time that the Chazan recites the Seder HaVodah. What is that all about? In all the shuls, the Chazan gives an introductory tefillah before the Seder HaVodah. Then it says the ark is closed. You close the Aron Kodesh and then you go into the Seder HaVodah. That's what it says in the standard Machzah. So our salvation said that where he came from, the meaning was that they left it open to indicate that all year long the Avodah is done in the Azara, outside of the Parashas. And on Yom Kippur, the Avodah is done inside, in the Kodesh HaKadosh. So you leave open the Aron Kodesh, the chazan representing the Kohen Gadol is going to be talking about the avodah that was done on the other side of the Parochas. That was his meaning. Many people make a mistake when everybody's bound down on the floor, so they distribute paper and everybody puts the paper by their knees. So the Achrayim talk about this. They say you're supposed to put the paper to be mapsik between your face and the floor. But there's an issue of Evan Maskis. One is the floor of the Azara was stone. So that's a mitzvah to kneel in the Azara. Mishtachlisa lefnei Hashem lekecha, even though it's a stone floor. But outside of the Beis HaMikdash, it's not permissible. Evan Maskis lasitnu be'artzachem. Artzachem means outside of the Beis HaMikdash, l'shtachlis alei. Not about that l'ashamayim on an Evan Maskis. So the way the Goyinim had the gears in the Gemara Megillah, they read the Gemara, even if the floor that you're kneeling on is tile, or the floor has wooden floor, or the floor has carpeting, you're also not allowed to kneel down. Maybe there's a stone floor below that. Right, but you're not kneeling on the stone floor. But there's no Dova Mafsik. The Dova HaMafsik has to be something that's not attached to the floor. So if you have a carpet that's nailed down to the floor, then it doesn't serve as a Dova HaMafsik. If you would have a rug that's not nailed down to the floor, you wouldn't have to have a Dova HaMafsik. So if you're kneeling down and there's a concern there may be an Eva Maskus on the bottom, we never look to see what's doing on the bottom of the floor of the shul. So that's why they say you should put the talus to be mafsik between your face and the floor, because this isser of Eben Maskis Lesitun Lishtach Mosala is only violated if you do Hishtachvoya. Hishtachvoya means when he kneels on his knees and his face is facing the floor. So you should make sure that he has a talus mafsik, where the paper should be mafsik, between his face and the floor. Shabbos, we spoke a lot about Tofei Shut Ches, the Dinam of Chayla. That's when I discovered that every other student in Yeshiva is a Chayla. Everybody's taking medication. So we discussed a little bit yesterday. The Gemara says that there used to be a kula of Knivas Yerek, that late in the afternoon on Yom Kippur, when Yom Kippur fell out on a weekday, they used to permit preparation of the meal for Metzor Yom Kippur. But if it's Yom Kippur, Shechalis B'Shabbos, then it's a Machloikis in the Gemara, and we paskan, then it's not allowed. Knivas Yerek is not allowed. Then the Gemara says that Bizman Hazeh, we Bechlal don't allow it. The Shulchan Aruch calls Bizman Hazeh, because the Bizman HaMaroyim, they saw that the people are preparing for Matzoh Yom Kippur way in advance. Don't use it to prepare, to set up the table for Malava Malka, or to prepare the food or something. If you're not doing a Malacha, just doing the Hafan Hashem Malacha, that's only an Issa D'Rabban. So in order to prepare for Matzoh Yom Kippur, if it's late in the afternoon, so they allowed you to prepare if Yom Kippur falls out on a weekday. Falls out on a Shabbos, be Paschal, not allowed. Then the Gemara says, in the days of the later Amaran, they saw that it's getting out of hand, that the people are preparing for Matzoh Yom Kippur too far in advance. So they did away with the whole hand. So that's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, that this year Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, so Mikra Din, there's no hand to do the preparation. And even in another year, when Yom Kippur falls out on a weekday, we no longer permit that... that practice of Knivas Yerek. You should look in the Chayyadim, he has a lot of Haggoyas in the Seder HaVodah. A lot of things in the Seder HaVodah don't correspond to what it says in the Mishnayos. So he recommends you should correct the text. Okay, we got a Dan Mincha. So tomorrow we'll go through Hilcha Dinei Sukkot, and then on Thursday we'll go through Dinei Dalet Minim. Okay.